Wait a minute. That's not the right song. We're not here to discuss that song. Okay, ladies, now let's get information.
Okay, ladies, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation.
All right. Yes, you know you're that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Welcome to the Interracial John Podcast. I'm rolling solo host-wise. Very White Guy's taking the evening off, and we have a ladies' evening as we are here to discuss the monumental occasion of Miss Beyoncé dropping Formation today. Video, song, just all of us minding our business at 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, and she just came and went nuts on us. So I'm joined by some wonderful women who were kind enough to say, hell yeah, I'll come talk about Beyonce right quick with you. And we have Miss Smart, who was just on the podcast last week from Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, y'all.
We have Brown and Bella from La Bella Body Care. What's going on, sis?
Hello, ladies and everyone out there.
We have Ronnie Dean Byrne, educator extraordinaire and PhD candidate herself. What's going on?
Hey.
And we have Kirsten Howard coming to us from the Shy. What's going on?
What's going on, y'all?
Excellent. I'm so excited. I was doing a podcast when it came on, and in the middle of it, I was like, just so you know, Beyonce just dropped a new song. So that happened, and I was like, maybe I could do a podcast, and then I was like, I'm definitely doing one. So obviously, first, let's just go around. Like, what were you guys doing when you heard, and like, what was the process that happened? I'm going to start with you, Brian and Bella. Let's do it. Let's get into it.
What was the process that happened when I heard it?
Yeah. Like, how did you find out about it, first of all?
I was just on Twitter, minding my business, and I saw, like, Beyonce video. It was such a blur. I just know that, like, I saw something about Beyonce, a video, and immediately I'm like, Beyonce got a video? Like, what? Oh, no, I'm on it. So as soon as I saw anything about Beyonce slide down my timeline, I am on it. And that's what happened. And I was just watching it immediately. Like, soon as I think they might have dropped it like 30 seconds, and I was already clicking it.
Nice. Like, early adopter. I love it. Mm-hmm. How about you, Ronnie? When did you hear about it? I know you busy on Saturday. So when did you hear about it?
Well, I'm actually at my daughter is a dancer, and we're at a dance competition. So I've been around music all day, and I'm again in the audience waiting on her dance to come on stage. And I'm like, Formation, what? Ladies, let's get information. I'm confused. I'm like, what? So somebody was like, B did it again. I was like, wait a second. Clicked on it. I was like, Lord Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. How about you, Kirsten? What were you up to today? I know you went to a black owned farmer's market, black run farmer's market today. Yes. And when did you hear about
the
song?
Yes, I did. And I was so entrapped with what was going on at the farmer's market. And, you know, we had been, you know, me and my friend, we went to, like, Starbucks, got some drink. We were just talking and everything. And I happened to jump back on Facebook. And then all of a sudden, I see a picture of Beyonce. Beyonce was looking good. It was the scene where she had the pigtails with the Bordeaux lipstick
yes.
The neck jewelry and all that good stuff. And I was like, oh, she's looking good. And then all of a sudden, I see Pretty, shout out to Pretty, and she shared a lovely tweet, and I'm like, huh? What's going on? I was so late to the party, and then finally, someone had, I went to, you know, my Beyonce link on Facebook, and they shared the video, and I was like, oh my God, and I was just enthralled. I'm like,
awesome. And Miss Smart, finally, what was your afternoon like getting all of this coming at you?
Well, it was actually very much like the last album in that I was asleep, and my spirit literally I opened my eyes and just reached for my phone. And the first thing I saw was on Facebook saying something about a Beyonce video. And of course, I don't believe Facebook because, you know, they're never right. So I go to Twitter and bam, there's the link. It was like maybe 4:05. It was just odd. But my spirit woke me up and told me to reach for it.
It's the power of Bay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Awesome. All right. So there's lots to get into. First of all, I think we should just play the song. I'm sure everybody listening and who will be listening will have heard it by now. But I think, you know, just to give us some context and, you know, because we can hear it and get our lives one more time real quick. Let's do it. Here she comes.
What happened at the New Orleans? Bitch, I'm back. I'm popular the man.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. Sauce in my bag. Swag.
Ooh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I like that.
I did not come to play with you, hoes. I came to slay, bitch. I like cornbreads and collard greens, bitch. Oh, yes. You best to believe it.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. Sauce in my bag. I see it, I want it, want it. I sun yellow, want it, want it. I dream it, I work hard, I grind till I own it, own it. I twirl on the middle, albino alligators, get a Camino with a Cielo, sipping Cuervo and Ochoa. Sometimes I go off, I go off, I go hard, I go hard. Get what's mine, get what's mine. I'm a star, I'm a star. Cause I slay, I slay.
I slay, I slay, I slay, I slay, I slay, I slay. information. I slay. Okay, ladies, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Always stay gracious. Best revenge is your paper.
Ooh, y'all. Oh my goodness. So good. Let's start with the lyrics, because I feel like that's a nice place to kind of get into it. I have them pulled up here. Anybody have any favorite lines that you're like, that's my line, I love it so much?
I like my baby hair with baby hair and afros. Yes. Like, what?
Yes. And we gonna get to it, but like, baby blue rocking the fro.
Don't come for baby blue. That's what she was like. Don't come for my baby. I like her hair the way it is. Yes.
Oh, so good. So good. Anyone else favorite lines?
Yeah, that was a good one. You know you that bitch when you cause all that conversation.
That's a good one. Yes. Just shutting them up. So good.
Mine is the nostril one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I like my nostrils.
I like Jackson my Negro nose nostrils. With Jackson 5 nostrils. Yeah, that's a good one, too. Oh, so good. So good. What was my favorite one? I love all of them, but I like the last one. I feel like it might be my new always stay gracious. Best revenge is your paper. That's what I'm talking about. Mm.
Right. Yes.
So good. So good. So good.
I also like the Red Lobster line.
Of course. Who doesn't?
Because the overt sexuality is just exactly what I think is necessary for revolutionary black women to live a revolutionary life is to say, you know, this is the shit I do. Like this. Oh, are we supposed to cuss on here? I'm sorry.
Yes, please. Cuss away. Fuck yes.
But like, I do that. And if he fucks me right, then that's what's going to happen. Like, it is so like in your face. I mean,
you're
I think
so
it's
regular
so in your
at
face.
The same time.
Like, right. But so regular. Like, I think it's something that, like that when women say period, it's like, ooh, for real? But I think for black women to say that and to, because I think that we always have this fear that obviously we are obviously overly sexualized, right? And so it's like, well, if I say that, like what? But she's just like, yeah, I'm saying it. Now, it might be how you talk to your girlfriends, right? I mean, I know it is how I talk. Right. But like to say that, like in that song, and like, yeah, so if you see him at Red Lobster, that's why he did. Like, that was everything for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And finally, Red Lobster is getting the acclaim it deserves.
Finally.
Yeah, because you hate on Red Lobster on Twitter, and I was always like, Red Lobster's lit where I'm from. Like, like I mean, I've eaten at great restaurants, and I've eaten at wherever. Like, Red Lobster is always going to be good in my book. Let me get us some cheddar biscuits and some scampi. Like, we good. Like,
yeah.
You know.
That's
so
what I'm saying. Like, people talk about Red Lobster. I'm like, have y'all not had that cheddar butter biscuits? Like, everyone's going to like,
yeah,
I
saw everyone said they need to be called Cheddar Bay biscuits moving forward. So, yeah, we'll see if that happens. But Red Lobster's definitely getting a lot of shine. I saw they were trending, which is hilarious. Because the thing about Beyonce, and obviously, I mean, look, we dropped everything. We're on a podcast right now. None of us thought we were going to be doing tonight, just to show you the reaction that she's able to get, not just from her fans and people that love the music, but it's the reaction to it. You see so many things from the song trending on Twitter immediately, people talking about it. And I want to give a quick shout out. I have a few quotes I pulled out. One is from I Am Yakahari. He said he wanted us to give him intellectual feedback on Formation. Don't just say she slayed, explain how, which is great. We will definitely be doing that. And then, Umaralina said Red Lobster references will be the new Netflix and chill, which I thought was really funny. Hilarious. So I think it's interesting, the lyrical content. It seems like each of the verses is very different. The first one is really focused on like her background and like that whole piece about, you know, her family and all of that stuff. And then she flips it and she takes it to a whole other like female empowerment piece where she talks about, you know, Red Lobster. She talks about her chopper. She talks about she might drop him off at the mall, let him shop up.
You can go ball.
Yes. She says she might get your song played on the radio because she's slayed. Like that whole like verse, she like flips
Beyonce
it.
They went total Beyonce stan.
Yes.
Them, and I was here for it.
So like, good.
Beyonce, that was the beehive. Like, that was so Beehive.
Yeah, I think
like,
I read,
that's how we do it.
I read somebody, I can't remember who it was, but they said that this felt like Beyonce finally admitting that she's Beyonce. Like, the extraness of it, the largeness of what it is to be Beyonce, which is always amazing. All right, so the visuals in the video, let's talk about that a little bit. I had one quote, let's see. At Josh Jenks on Twitter said, nods to blackness, womanhood, race, and climate in America. Throw in audio by black gay men all through a Katrina lens. Phew. And DST Felix said, tell me Formation doesn't look like a Toni Morrison novel, mm-hmm. Chopped and Screwed come to life. My God.
Yeah, I thought that was a perfect explanation when I saw it. Perfect.
In addition to the, when you put the visuals with the words, it feels like a Negro spiritual. Yes. Because think about it. A lot of the words that she's using and the phrasing she's using are secret in blackness code. A lot of the images that she shows are secret in blackness code.
Yes.
Right. And you know, I actually, on my Twitter, that's what I said. I was like, y'all, Beyonce is going to perform this new Negro spiritual at the Super Bowl tomorrow.
Yes.
Like, let's just think about how major that is. Like,
so major.
All of the, you know, the black imagery that, you know, and the climate that we're in, that's what's going to be broadcast into 100 million homes tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean,
they are going to be, it's going to be so epic. Yeah. I cannot wait to
with
see
Cam,
it.
With Cam, it's so unapologetically black. That's what the song is. Yeah, that's what the video was. It was like, yeah, we're going all the way there. Even the visual of the girls that are in formation, like in the pool, they all had like huge, natural, like, you know, great, amazing, beautiful hair, which is a very different visual for stuff that she usually has. You know, you'll see a mixture of lots of different things, all black, also not usual for her. She usually has there was a white girl in there. Did I miss
her? No, I was saying usually there's a white girl.
Yeah, usually, and different, you know, lots of different races as well, usually. But this was like all black all the time. The little boy dancing in front of the police officers, them with their hands up, all white. All the imagery of New Orleans and Katrina and, you know, which we'll get into a little bit. There's been a little controversy since we decided to do the podcast about all of that, or some of it anyways. Any other thoughts on the visuals? Like, what parts did you guys?
I was going to say, you know, it very much, although it's shot through sort of the New Orleans lens and that look and feel for sure. I totally agree that it looks like a Toni Morrison novel, but being from Houston, my mother is from Fifth Ward. I'm sorry. My dad's from Third Ward. So the grunge, I guess, that level of like distorted colors and like all of those images, that is straight Third Ward, Texas. Like, that is it. And then her accent, right? Like, for me, I mean, she just sounds like people who live here. But she sounds so like a Houstonian. She sounds like, she says, they'll never take that country out of me. Like, that right there is just everything. And then, of course, the splicing of the, I came to slay, bitch. I like collard greens and cornbread, bitch. Like, I struggle all the time because I'm like, am I supposed to be saying bitch this life? Because I say it all the time. But like hearing that song, I'm like, yes, bitch. Yes, like,
that's all us. That is so, yes, black girl. Bitch. That is black girl magic. That's all part of our shit. All speak that yes, bitch language.
Yes
bitch. And like, and that yes, bitch could be like a warm blanket on a cold day. You know
absolutely.
What I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if some mornings I wake up and I'm not feeling myself and I do something, I walk somewhere and somebody be like, bitch, you working today. I'm like, you know what?
Absolutely.
So the whole video, I'm like clapping my hands like, bitch, you better, come on, Houston. Yes. You know, and then images of, I mean, there's a church image in there, again, which is so Southern, down home. You know, you're going to go to church. Like, just sort of all these elements, I think, of who she is as a woman, all just sort of wrapped up. And to me, that's where the slayage is that all of who you are, that you got a potty mouth, that you got a baby, that you got a man, that you got a job, that you got a lot of money. Like, all of who I am. And then I'm socially conscious, right?
Right.
It's all in that video. That, to me, that's the epitome of slay. Like, all them pieces of who we are as black
together.
Women.
Together.
was in that video.
Yeah, my friend Alma Faith Crawford, she's actually the minister of the Congregation for Black Lives. It's an online church. She says, a few comments about She Who Slays. The power of that New Orleans / African liminality between death and life, past, present, future. She's the one. She's one of the drowning. She is the triumphant, defiant one who slays couture and country. The one who is looked at. The one with the extended middle finger. Come on, Amber. The penetrated one who penetrates the pagan and the church. Louisiana, Alabama, blonde extensions and Negro nose with Jackson 5 nostrils. Every motherfucking thing. This is the dissertation I want to write in post-colonial Hementales, but in 2 minutes with the slickest beats and Big Frida rapping. So I was like, yes, wow. Yes, Beyonce. Wow. She served us. This video really was something special. And she did manage to get all of that in there. I also, of course, Blue Ivy's in the video. Let's just say that. And not like a little peek of her foot or anything, like full on in it, dancing, serving face with her beautiful self, just so confident. That little girl, I love her.
And just in her black girl magic. Like,
with two little black girls right beside her.
Right. Like, she looked like any of our little cousins. Like, you know, running around when you go to your family house, there's some little black girls running around just being fun and carefree. Like, that's what I see whenever I see Blue. Like, they're my nieces, man. Like, you know, my nieces, the little girls I see when I go pick my niece up from school, like, that's what they do. And it's just like, y'all gonna leave Blue alone.
Yes.
And let Blue be Blue and be awesome.
Be amazing. Miss Smart, we didn't hear from you. Thoughts on the visuals from the video? What stuck out to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did say that, well, it was everything, honestly. It was the unapologetic blackness. If anybody at any point in any scene prior to today thought she was All Lives Matter, she said, no, I'm not casting any all lives. I'm casting just the black people. Yes. I'm casting all shapes and colors. And there is one scene in particular. I think it's a street scene. And there's this black lady, dark skin. She looks maybe to have her hair slicked back or something. And she just gives me a country, good, warm side eye. And that is really my favorite scene because that old lady, I know her.
Yeah.
I know her.
Yeah.
She didn't give me peppermints out her purse in Sunday school.
Absolutely.
So I really like that. I also like her being flanked by black men as she stood there in that hat.
Yes.
That was good. I don't know whether she intended it to be, but it made me think of, you know, they have my back. They are supporting me. They are here for me in various colors or whatever. They see that, you know, I'm valuable.
The fashion, first of all, let me just say that entire outfit. I was like, are you kidding me? Ronnie, I think I heard you were trying to wear the red body suit to an interview or something. What's going on?
Listen, this week I have a photo shoot because I'm like, my manager told me I'm supposed to, okay, the fact that I have a manager is crazy to me. But anyway, but I'm supposed to like have like headshots and like nice pictures to send to people when I go speak places. So I'm like, okay, fine, I'll take pictures. So I'm like, but I want to wear that outfit in my picture. I mean, if I get invited to speak at a university, can I send them that picture and be like, yes, this is what I'm wearing. This is me. So the clothing was just like, and then like that whole set where they're all sort of lined up, all the black women, and they say get information. They all have on some level, some kind of denim.
Yes.
Like, you know, I'm 38. So like the 90s, that's when I was in high school. Like, did we not wear denim? Like we was crazy.
Yeah,
like
denim, everything.
Stone watch.
Color denim.
Denim,
okay?
Everything.
Right.
Pink denim, turquoise denim.
Jean outfit. You couldn't tell me shit. Okay.
Nothing. Don't tell me nothing about my jeans. Okay. And so the fact that they're out there.
Can we talk about this switch up though? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Since we talking about that formation, like,
right.
He's rocking that twist out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, the twist out was cute.
This is how you gonna do me?
I love that they were in an empty pool for a lot of those dance scenes. I was like, first I was looking, I was like, what is that? I was like, holy shit, they emptied that pool for them to dance in. Just the idea of that, I was like,
and
yes.
Which the throwback to me is like when
amazing.
The pool thing is like all of the like the black movies about like steppers and stuff like that.
Yep.
How, what was it? What was that movie?
Stomp the yard,
right?
Yep.
And they were like, they were trying to practice in the pool. That's what it reminded me of. Because I'm like, that just seems like real you know, we'll find black people being who we are. We'll find wherever we got to go to get it popping.
And there's a layer of, you know, places like that have always been a barrier for black people too. Waterfronts, pools, where we've been shut out of things like that. So there's a layer of, when you see all of this stuff put together, it's like, oh, we can't swim? Bitch, we dancing in the pool. How about that? Like, right. Oh, I got you now. You know, kind of all of that was just, oh, I loved it, loved it, loved it. Any last thoughts on the visuals of the video? Yes,
that what is it? The when the police car sinks.
Oh yes,
on top of the police car.
Yes,
like man, just so much of that with the and then the stop shooting us. The man, everything about the video, like that was the video, gorgeous. The song, everything was dope to me.
And of course, they have the when they're in all white, it almost looks like a. Reconstruction era kind of lace and all of that kind of stuff. That whole, all of that fashion was really beautiful.
Now, did you guys see, and I saw it and I literally just let it drift down my timeline because things were moving so fast. Did you see anybody say that they were supposed to be Creole women in a brothel?
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay. I didn't see that.
Which would make sense.
It would make sense in the context of where she was and all of that stuff. Yeah, I could see that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe she'll let us know at some point. I don't know. She likes to just let us figure it all out most of the time, though. So let's talk about the sound a little bit. You know, is it different than we've heard her in the past? I got a little bit of like a 7-Eleven vibe from it, a little bit, but still dirtier than that, a little grimier than that. Obviously, a lot of, you know, New Orleans influence with Big Freed on there. And I think... what's the other rapper's name? Massey Maya, right? Was on it as well, which is great. I love Big Freedia. She's like one of my faves. So, so thoughts on the sound. What were you guys expecting? And I mean, obviously we weren't expecting anything coming out, but from her, do you think it's something new? What do you guys think? Kirsten, what do you think?
I don't think it's new. I think that she's kind of nodded in this direction before, like you said, with 7-Eleven. I think a little bit too with Flawless, you know? So sort of this where I'm singing a little bit, and we know she can, you know, like my mama would say, if she has to stand flat-footed and just sing, she can belt it out, right? But this sort of like half singing, half talking, half preaching almost, I think we've seen little bits and pieces of this before, especially with her visual album. So, but this was definitely grittier. Like it wasn't, there was music, obviously, and there's a beat, but it was just grittier, I think.
Yeah. And the structure was a little different for her too. Like when you look at the fact that the chorus is so long, which is very unusual for her, which I loved, So some of that, the structure of the song, I think was different. I'm interested to know who produced it. And all of that kind of stuff too. Anybody else with the sound like
9:30?
You know what? She's kind of played around with this type of imagery. I think with the visual album, I don't remember off the top of my head which song it was, but she actually did one similar to that, but she did it up in Houston, and that was pretty dope. But she kind of, you know, toyed that like girly, you know, Beyonce vibe. So like she kind of went there. She went all the way there in this video, you know what I'm saying? And you know, seeing her, you know, kind of doing the juxtaposition between, you know, like that 90s hood and that, you know, that couture, you know, like witchy pagan type deal with the reconstruction, you know, era flow. I mean, it's real dope. It's something that, you know, I've never really seen of her. And I think with me, you know, seeing like these little elements previous in some of her videos, now she really just went all the way there. She's like, fuck y'all, I'm gonna be Beyonce. Like this is really me. This is really who I am.
Right. And yeah, in terms of the lyrics and things like that, she's definitely touched on it before, like in Angel, wasn't it Angel? She was, you know, going through.
Yeah,
so we've even seen, like, we've seen how you know, her kind of coming, getting to this point. And we know that she works with a lot of that sort of, like, you know, she works with The Dream, and the people that did this are Ray Shrummer
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Is that who it is? Okay, so, I didn't get to see.
So he helped write that, and Will, what's his name? Mike Will made it. You know, the guy Mike Will made it.
Oh,
that guy,
yeah.
He produced it.
Oh. So,
you know, but Beyonce's always had her foot right into whatever, you know, not just pop, but Beyonce has kind of created her own sound almost. You know, we recognize her sort as a pop star, but her music, her sound has, outside of like For the album, you know, when she went completely R&B, outside of that, she's always had that sort of bigger sound with, you know, and cuts where it gets a little bit more ratchet on it, because that's who she's always been.
Right.
So, you know, the stance of kind of, you know, the people who listen to Beyonce, like, this isn't a departure. It's more of an arrival. Like, we've been seeing her get here now throughout her albums and just how she puts together an album and the kind of producers that she works with and being with Jay-Z and kind of being in the rap, you know, into the rap part of it and being in Houston and the big part of down south rap, like how that's just been major, major thing going on in music for years now. So it's just sort of what I see is a natural progression for her to end up here and really just take the reins of what she wanted to do. But she can sing anything. So I think that's the beauty of it. Like, and I was just watching Michael Jackson last night, and it almost strikes me like people get offended at the comparison sometimes. But I was watching Spike Lee's
Don't Stop So You Get Enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The way they were explaining how he started coming into his own sound and he started writing his songs and putting his own spin on it, like around Off the Wall.
Yes.
It really reminds me of Beyonce a lot. Like, I can see how it, I can see where the comparisons are. It's particularly like the ushering in of a new sound and using what's around you and sort of building your own thing, because nobody else could come out with a song like this right now. Like, there's no right. one out no. there that could do a song like this that would sound authentic, mm-hmm. except for Beyonce.
Right.
This is her.
Yeah. And they that's a good comparison too, because a lot of that it's on Showtime for those who don't know.
It's
Don't Stop Till You Get Off Enough. It's a great Spike Lee. It's literally about Michael Jackson through Off the Wall, and really about how he got to that point and kind of making that album. And you know, the other thing that really struck me was Berry Gordy talks about Michael during the Motown days, where he would just sit behind him while Berry was mixing records, like mixing songs. And he said, I didn't have to turn around, but I could feel Michael was just there watching me. Not that Berry was actively teaching him or anything, but he was there to soak it up and observe it and be around it. And I feel like Beyonce is that kind of artist where she, you know, she wants perfection and she wants to know as much as she can and learn as much as she can and grow as much as she can. So do you guys think this is like, you know, when she released Bow Down, and then that wasn't really the first single. Do you think this is the first single, or do you think this is like, hey, I'm just letting you know I'm coming right quick?
I'm not willing to comment.
The latter.
You think it's I'm coming?
Go ahead.
No, I was saying I'm not willing to comment, because at this point, she's going to do whatever she wants to.
True.
And I don't know.
Does she even need a single? Let's also just give thanks and praise to the fact that this shit is free, y'all. She's not even charging anybody
to listen to it,
to download it, to do anything. She's just like, I'm just going to gift y'all with this right quick, and I'm going to go Super Bowl 50, perform it at halftime, see how you deal with that too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's some other level shit we're dealing with Beyonce, always.
She's the biggest star out right now. Like, there's nobody. I mean, you know, of course, there might be people selling more records, but just in terms of Beyonce shut down everything, just dropping an album. I'm dropping a song that nobody even knew she was working on. Like, we knew that she was working on music, but nobody expected, like you said, on a random Saturday for this to drop, because we knew she was doing the Super Bowl, so we thought she was going to bring out some old stuff that everybody loved, because Beyonce got hits.
Yep.
She didn't have to make a new song for the Super Bowl.
Nope.
She didn't have to do it.
She sure didn't.
This is free, so we know something else is dropping. At least that's how I feel, because Beyonce going to get her coins, okay? She's going to get her coins. So this is a little teaser, like, oh, y'all wanted me back by popular demand? Take this. And then we gonna get an album. This is an album. I know it. I got a sound. This album's gonna be fire.
Mm. It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be in the clubs. Like, it's gonna be a club album.
Mm.
And you know what? One of the things that I love really about this song is the fact that not only is she being unapologetically Black, but she is giving a little bit of a taste of how she's including, you know, social justice. Because I know that, like, you know, sometimes we always want our celebrities to speak out and speak up about certain things. And, you know, obviously we can't always look to celebrities into being those type of mouthpieces, using their platforms for those type of reasons. And I think a lot of people, especially a lot of us that are in the social justice activist circles, you know, a lot of people kind of give us flack for, like, in Beyonce, you know, because, you know, we like Beyonce. Like, what's wrong with liking Beyonce? You know, she ain't perfect, but she's Beyonce. I think the thing about it is that she said a lot of things that people have kind of been saying about her and why she's not speaking up and why she's not, like, being overt, you know, like Jackie Williams and Zendaya and Amanda Steinberg and whatnot. And I think this kind of gives you a preview, I would like, into that, you know what I'm saying? And I think that her being unapologetically Black, allowing her daughter to be unapologetically Black and preserving Black girl magic. I think, you know, the imagery of, you know, getting tired of these cops killing us for no reason. Like, I think that's just important, you know, and hopefully, and I saw a tweet before we jumped on here, that we're going to see what the All Lives Matter Beast fans are going to have to say about this. I am definitely here for that conversation, and I'm ready for them to just shut the fuck up now, because, yeah.
Yeah.
He brought it.
Yeah. Mm. So much there. So obviously there's been lots of reactions, which I think we could probably delve into, not just our own that we discussed earlier, but the wider net. We talked about Red Lobster was trending, all of this stuff. I saw a few funny ones. Melissa Harris Perry tweeted out, "Hey, at James H. Perry," that's her husband, "how about Red Lobster tonight? I'm buying." I thought that was pretty funny. I was like, oh, look at Melissa trying to get freaky on a timeline. Somebody put a great still of Blue just like standing there in Superman, you know, Superwoman pose, superhero pose. She says, the tweet says, this is at Bay Updates, "When everyone bullied you because of your hair, but you realize Beyonce is your mom."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At Philo Saver said, "Bae just dropped a NOLA-themed video during Mardi Gras, called herself Negro, and sank a police car. What a day to be Black and alive."
Look, and it's only the 6th of February.
Yes. Yes, just the 6th of February.
This is already the most lit in my adult life.
It's so lit. So, so lit. I just said, Red Lobster about to be sold out for Valentine's Day, no doubt, after this. If it wasn't already, but it definitely is going to be hitting a whole other level. So there was a little bit of controversy, which was two individuals that there's some stills or a couple of pieces of the video that are taken from a short film that was produced about New Orleans and New Orleans bounce. And Jamil Smith tweeted out, "One thing about the formation video, though, read what at the Black and at AB Teen tweeted about footage, then watch this." So I did watch it, and you can definitely see it's obvious that a lot of the stills are taken from it. Now, the thing is that Beyonce did get clearance to use these. They sold the footage and the rights to it to a third party, which is who they got the rights to do it from. What are you guys' thoughts? Have you guys seen anything about this chatter going on right now about it?
I saw a little bit of it on my timeline. And, you know, honestly, my first thought, and again, let me say this. I am Beyonce, Team Beyonce from day one, Destiny's Child, whatever. She can't do no wrong for me, okay? So I'm admitting my bias, right? I get it. But I did think about this. I thought about, Dr. Stacey Patton says this all the time. She talks about Black joy, right? Mm. And it's often, and Kristen just alluded to this, you know, when you're in that social justice circle, right, you kind of catch hell sometimes for liking various things, right? Oh, you like Beyonce, or she's problematic, or you like this. You know, everything becomes problematic, right? And maybe on some level, everything is. I mean, if you subscribe to critical race theory, which says that racism is everywhere, because it is, right? And I get it, right? And so it's like there's always issues with everything, right? But I thought about this moment where we're sort of experiencing like this black joy, like where somebody is saying, I love my Negro nose and I fuck my man really good and he fucks me good and my baby is beautiful and I got money and I'm with my girl. And that there has to be this sort of undertone of like, well, but you know, well, but except. And I get it, right? Like, okay, fine. If she, I mean, I get it like on that level, but it's like, can I have a moment in the sun? Like, can I have a moment where I'm like, this is so black and like, it's going to be like white girls in the club singing this. Great. Like, can I have that moment? But it's almost like we always have to be on, I guess. Mm. And maybe that's a part of it, right? Like that's a part of walking the walk, right? Is that there's a certain level of onness all the time. And so, yeah, I saw it, but I just said, you know, not today.
Not today.
Well, Black Twitter has, as we were on here, they have discovered that the guys were apparently hired by Sundance. And I'm sure everybody here has had a job before. And when you are hired, you sign a stack of papers that usually says whatever you create here, we own. So I haven't actually had the time to go through whatever receipts that they have or either side has. But the bottom line is if they didn't own it and the owners decided to let her use it, so sad, too bad.
Right. And the record company and her management wouldn't allow her to use something that she didn't have rights to anyways. It's just...
I think for them is they just wanted some sort of recognition to say that, like, you know, if you put, even if you're putting it in,
like, legit,
right. You know, even if you're putting it into your work, and if you're going to say that you're the director, this is exactly, you know, I'm reading his timeline now, and he's saying the issue is passing off someone's work as your own. Preserve the sanctity of the craft, which I can understand that, you know, even if someone else owns it, you know, you still want, you know, some, you know, maybe some credit on it, or say, you know, these people actually filmed it. Like, don't say that you actually directed it when you didn't, if you're using part of someone else's work, which I can understand. But at the same time, I also understand the, like, can we just get a minute? Because I'm still processing it. And I'm just like, this is so awesome. But if there was any funny business about it, then I hope that gets straightened out. Because what I do know is that Beyonce's pretty good, you know, in terms of, you know, wanting for people to get the credit for stuff. You know, it's not like, you know, she flies in people from the specific places from dances to show her how to do it. So I'm sure that if she was supposed to get permission for it, that they got the permission that they were supposed to have. But it, you know, if you see your footage somewhere, you want your name on it. Just like we don't technically own our tweets, but when someone uses my tweets, I would like a heads up.
Right.
Or a hey, you know, Brown and Bella, your stuff is going to be, or whatever, because I find my tweets on Washington Post or all over the place, and no one's ever reached out to me to say, I'm using your tweet.
Right.
So if you know, that's the comparison some people were making, and I can understand on that level. But at the same time, if they actually own it, you know, it's nothing you can do but complain.
Well, he said that they talked about, the guy Chris on his timeline, he said that they talked about using it, but he wasn't sure where it went after that.
Mm. Okay.
So it wasn't like he was totally in the dark, unless he erased those tweets, but he wasn't in the dark. He just wasn't the person who had to sign off on it.
Right. And that's what it is. When you don't own your work, that's what happens. You know, someone else is the one who makes the decision about if someone else can use it or not.
Right. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, and bump that. Like, again, I'm in the sun, so.
Yes, that too. I just was like, you know, at the end of the day, it ain't my problem, and I hope they work it out. And I'm gonna be still over here shaking my ass to this song. Like,
hell's yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. It that to me is something that's minor. You know, like I said, I hope that they rectify the situation. I hope that, you know, whatever comes of it becomes something that's positive about it. But other than that, I'm going to be celebrating Black History Month with this, you know, with this unapologetically black song and black video, and celebrating my black ass.
Yep.
And celebrating everybody else's blacknesses.
And I'll say this too. Definitely check out, and I'll make sure that the link is in the show notes. Check out the short film that the stills are taken from. It's called That Beat, that B.E.A.T, and it's all about the New Orleans, bounce music scene. And it's really good. It's very well done, and it's beautiful. So I think hella more people are going to be seeing that film than it ever did at South by Southwest in 2014. So it's been a number of years since its release. I've never heard of it, so I think it's great. At least that will come out of it for sure for the content and for these two individuals.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
One more thing. If he had have said it like, if you want to see, how the original, a lot of that footage was from another movie, do you want to see how it was done? There was a more pleasant way to frame it, where he still would have, it would have left people with a much more pleasant taste in their mouth and still would have had people to talk about that short, because it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to get with his people and they need to teach him how to phrase things properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, setting the stage is important, and that's how people will receive it. So it's definitely important to make sure you do that too. At Pop Culture Mom wanted me to ask all of you this question. She says, "Can you please address the Negro and Creole, that Negro and Creole aren't mutually exclusive thing? Any thoughts on that?" I was like, "I'll ask them. I don't know. I don't know much about that, but."
I think I'm going to address this, and I have to go get my little Negro child from there. but I think that, Creole is Negro, yes. So, but I think that more than anything, I didn't read the lyric as a problematic, like Creole isn't black. I just read it as my mama is, because I know so many people who like, oh, my mama is Creole. And I do know people who call Creole that, well, we ain't really black, we Creole. I'm like, yeah, I'm not that. So I can understand how sort of the history behind people who are Creole trying to separate sort of or delineate out their heritage. Like, I'm Creole, I'm not black. But I think that more than anything, that she was sort of giving that, that first part of the song is sort of the prologue, right? Like, this is who I am, right? Here's my lineage. Let me tell you how I got to be this Texas Bama, right? You got my Creole, you got my daddy from Alabama, and that's how I kind of got here. So, but again, one of those moments, I see it, I get it, but I'm in the sun, so...
I think in terms of the way Beyonce was using it, I heard of as delineating sort of a different sort of course they're black, but it is, they do have a sort of a special culture within blackness, you know, not all blackness is created equally. You know, we're all, we have sort of different, they're in different pools, sort of different cultural things that happen within those communities. And are Creole people black? Absolutely.
Right.
But, there's a difference between, between the people who have, the Creole culture, in Louisiana and those type of folks versus from, like she said, like an Alabama Negro. Those are different sort of things. And just like, there are Creoles and they're the tri-racial sort of populations, as they're called. But they have their own sort of cultural spin.
Yeah.
And I think that it was cool. I think that it's cool that Beyonce recognizes that and that, of course, she knows she's black. She's not making it any sort of like separation, just more of a cultural, they got a Louisiana Creole and an Alabama Negro made me, and I'm straight black, blackity black, and I'm black, y'all.
That's
how I saw it.
Yeah, like a comment on the fact that blackness is not a monolith. And so I think that white culture often tries to make it like, oh, you're black, all black people are the same. And she's like, nah, my dad was from here and he had a little something to throw into the mix, and my mom was from here and she had a little something to throw in the mix, and I'm from here, and that added a whole other thing to the mix.
So what they had.
Right. Right. So I felt like it was more of an acknowledgement of the complexity of Black cultures that exist in our country and obviously in the diaspora as well. And I love that. I like the acknowledgement of that and like unapologetically again, like I'm not going to explain it to you because mm-hmm. I don't need to. How about that?
Right. Yeah. Like either you get it or you don't. Right. And, you know, for most people, it's particularly the people who like Black Americans. Like I'm Black American. My family is from Georgia and Alabama first. Like Georgia, Alabama came up to Philly from there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like for people who are very familiar with that, to us, it didn't come to our ears and like sound weird at all. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, you know, that's what it is. Like I'm from, you know, if I was making a song, I would probably say something like that too, because you know, my family has, everyone's family has different cultures sort of blended in, particularly Black people, because of how we are got here and how we've migrated and how we've kind of mixed and blended and made these beautiful cultures that kind of overlap and mesh in with each other. And I think it's beautiful that we have that sort of complexity across, like you said, you know, across the diaspora. Like, but in America specifically, like American Blackness is so complex mm-hmm. and it's so big mm-hmm. and it, people don't really know how to cut it down and sort of deal with it on the, you know, the regionals. It's particularly regional and you know, the Creoles and the however it works out, and the people who have, you know, some Native Americans sort of, you know, more influence from that. And so, you know, either you get it or you don't. Right. And again, she's unapologetic about it. Like, look, the people that get it are going to get it because that's it, because right. it's for them. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get it, you're either going to ask someone who knows or you're just going to vibe to the music still and just not know what the hell she's talking about. Like, but no one's going to sit around and like break everything down for you because you either with it or you're not.
I think she'll definitely, for the most part, will quote unquote get away with this because all she's saying is that this is my flavor of Blackness. Now, if she had just said that line or you talk about being Creole without any of the extra Black imagery, without any of the extra Black words, then, you know, it would be easy to simply say, oh, well, she's trying to distance herself from Blackness. But when you put it in its full context, all she's saying is this is my flavor. Just like my flavor is Detroit. My flavor is Alabama. Right. Her flavor is Creole. Right. Bam. Simple.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's very like, my family's from Jamaica and I actually had posted, an article like last week about Rihanna's album and somebody had said that people, the title of it said, people complain because some of Rihanna's songs on her new album are in Jamaican patois. And I like quoted the thing and I was like, first of all, Rihanna's from Barbados. She's Bajan. So she's not speaking in a Jamaican patois. And it reminded me of that, like this idea of trying to make Blackness a monolith, wherever it's from, whether it's the Caribbean or whether it's Africa and you don't know the difference between, you know, Nigeria or Uganda or Botswana. Like there is this idea that we don't get those complexities, but a white person in America, you're like, oh, where's your family from? And they'll be like, I'm two parts French, I'm part Norwegian, I got a little bit of Swedish in me and some French. Like, fuck you, stop. But we don't get that. So I think
that's true.
Yeah, so I like that of it about it too.
Yeah, and you know, me being from Chicago, you know, I felt, you know, a lot of folks, they want to get into like the whole like, well, where you're from, where's your family from? And obviously because of the Great Migration, you know, my mama's family's from Mississippi, my dad's family's from Kentucky, and you know, if anybody who has heard my dad speak, you know, my dad has a Southern accent, even though he was born in Chicago. Mm. And my mother, when she was still living, people thought that she was from the South, but they're first generation Chicagoans. Oh. I myself am a second generation Chicagoan. And a lot of people, when they think of folks from Chicago, they think of like, you know, the white folks and be like, God bears and, you know, sounding like a Blues Brothers and shit like that. But, you know, Black Chicagoans sound a little bit different, you know. So I get it. I get the whole like Creole thing because that's a particular culture, you know, that includes the language and the art and the music and, you know, the different type of admixture of races and ethnicities and whatnot. So that's something that, you know, she acknowledges because that's just part, that's what her mom's side is, you know what I'm saying? Like she always, like, even when she made House of Darion, like she always made
you know, that connection to that Creole heritage because of her grandmother and her great-grandmother. So she's very family-oriented. So she's not going to dismiss that part of herself because, you know, because she's trying to separate herself from her blackness because she acknowledges the fact that she's black.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
That's who she is. And me knowing that I have these strong ties to the South, even though a lot of my language, a lot of the ways that I cook, you know, when we all kind of do, you know, when we, you know, obviously me, Ronnie, and Leslie, we kind of talk outside of Facebook or whatnot, you know, we kind of talk a little bit about our backgrounds and stuff, and we're like, oh, you say things like that? Oh, you say things like that? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Like, we connect on different levels, you know, even though our experiences as black women are fairly much the same. We don't realize it until we're just talking about it. And right. That's kind of the things that I like about Beyonce is that we're the same, but there's those subtle differences that we experience. And I don't think that takes away from her blackness. She just acknowledges this other aspect of the black experience. And to not acknowledge that is like not acknowledging, you know, Americans who are first generation Americans from like Nigeria or Cameroon mm-hmm. or from Jamaica or from, you know what I'm saying, from Barbados and so forth and so on. You know what I'm saying? They're still black.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's this other part of their culture from the diaspora. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. So I wanted to go around just final thoughts about Formation. And again, thank you all for being here. Ronnie had to jump off to, as she said, to take her little Negro home, her daughter. Mm-hmm. But you can find Ronnie on Instagram and Twitter, RONI_Dean. And you can just search for her on Facebook, Ronnie Dean/Burren. And definitely follow her on Facebook. She does videos all the time and she does amazing work. If you don't know who she is the mom who had the dust up with McGraw-Hill a couple of months ago. Was her Sambra Home textbook that called the African slave trade migration.
Well, that was her?
Yes. So she's awesome and brilliant and all of that good stuff. And I'll have her links in there. So thank you to her. But Ms. Smart, we'll start with you. Tell everyone where they can find you, of course, and of your great podcast, Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine, and then also just final thoughts on Formation and Beyonce.
Okay, so I can be found on Twitter at think_P_smart. I do a podcast with two other women. The podcast is called Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. Our Twitter is Whiskey, Wine, Moon, and you certainly can put in Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine into the Googles and find us, find us on any of the podcast services, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and so forth. With regard to my final thoughts about Formation, there are currently people feverishly Googling baby hair. So I'm going to set aside some time on Monday to block any think pieces from hitting my timeline because I know people are typing feverishly and I just don't have time.
No, you're right. The think pieces are coming. Not that they had any to say for Adele when her song came out, but we'll leave that aside. Kirsten, let everyone know where they can find you and follow you on Twitter and everything and your final thoughts.
All right. So obviously you can find me on Facebook, Kirsten Howard. Twitter is AR_goddess. I do a lot of retweeting. You know, sometimes I kind of get into a Facebook rant here and there. On Instagram, I am iBangGoddess. So EYEBANGGODDESS. I like to do iBangs and I like to do a lot of cooking. Obviously, my Facebook is a lot of social justice ranting and, you know, just being your typical asshole. you know, me, feminism, womanism, you know, anti-racism, you know, talking a little bit about why homosexuality is natural, you know, fighting for my trans folks. So I'm here for it. But my final thoughts on Formation, it is unapologetically black. It is beautiful. It is couture. It is sickening. If I knew how to do a death drop, I would do it right now. I am going to be thinking of ways where maybe Valentine's Day is coming up, so maybe I can find a potential day and take them to Red Lobster. maybe I just bought some hot sauce.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the hot sauce.
Yes, I'm gonna have my hot sauce swag. And Jackson 5 knows, because I mean that's just the best way to be. I mean, you know, now all these big nose folks like myself, we're gonna be sitting up here proud of our noses, and I am here for it.
Absolutely, thank you so much, Brown and Bella. Let everyone know where they can find you.
I am Brown and Bella on Twitter. That's my main social media. I also run La Bella Body Care, but I will be, right now I'm kind of in transition. I'm maybe shutting it down, for a little bit, might come back. I'm really just on the right on the precipice, I think, of something great. Might be getting into a little bit of cosmetics. Shh, you didn't hear that from me though.
Sis, that's exciting.
So, I'm going to call myself Culture Critic, Skincare Maven. All those sort of things. So you can catch me on Twitter, being, irreverent and sometimes irate at other times. Mm-hmm. I crack a lot of jokes. You can just catch me around. I'm on Twitter in and out, sometimes getting my work done. Sometimes I'm not on Twitter for like a day or two. So, don't leave me if you don't see me tweeting. About the video, it was my final thoughts on it is that it was everything that I needed right now. Mm. Like, in terms of where I am in my life and just needing an anthem to, like, you know what? I'm going to be great at shit and bitch, you going to love it. Like, I needed that in my head right now. Like, where I'm at in my life, it spoke to my spirit in a way, like that Black Girl Magic, that I just needed that pick me up today. Mm. And Beyonce came along like that angel she is and gave mm-hmm. that to me personally.
Mm. A blessing.
And that blessing into my soul, she filled up my soul and my cup runneth over today. Mm. Do you hear me?
Yes.
So I am just in such a great mood. She really just changed the entire trajectory of how I was feeling today and this week. And I needed it. And the blackness of it, the just complete, not just unapologetically black, but unapologetically her. And kind of unapologetically who black women are right now, like everything that we're, you know, what black womanhood is right now in 2016, Beyonce touched on all of it.
Yes.
And I am grateful that I am here today to have been able to see it and to see the reaction to it, because I cannot wait until I can't wait for the think pieces so I can slap this shit down. Like, I know they're coming and everyone's like, don't do it. I'm waiting to scalp a bitch. Do you hear me? Like, I'm waiting for it. I want these bitches to try it so that I can smack them down with the power in my soul that Beyonce gave me today.
Mm.
So that's how I'm feeling about it.
I love it. I love it. I have already dubbed 2016 the year of the clap black. Mm. And I foresee lots of that going on in response to this video. You can of course find our show, just search Interracial Drawn. That's JAWN. We're on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. You can leave us a review and also subscribe. You can go to our website, interracialdrawn.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Leslie Mack. That's MAC. My final thoughts, just acknowledging the complete artist and the complete businesswoman that Beyonce is, you know, where she is able to be so creative in so many different ways and surprise her fans and give us something that gives us so much. And she's able to drop an entire line of formation gear on us as well. You can go to shop.beyonce.com. There is an I Twirl on Them Hater sweatshirt. There is a hot sauce cap. There is a phone cover that says "you that bitch when you cause all this conversation," and then of course an I Got Hot Sauce in My Bag tote bag. It's just, that's the level of detail that she goes to that I appreciate as a fan and just as a black woman, just respecting the work that she puts into everything that she does, and we are so grateful for that. We're gonna let her take us out and finish this show.
Okay, ladies, now let's get information. Okay, ladies, now let's get information. I
slay. Okay, ladies, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Always stay gracious. Best revenge is your paper.
Girl, I'll hear some thunder.